Can't sleep? Don't want to sleep? Afraid to sleep? Are the windows closed? Are your doors locked? Did you check your closet? And under your bed? Maybe you should keep a light on in the hallway, just in case. Now settle in. Make yourself comfortable. Lay back, close your eyes, and let me tell you a story.
Arriving January 9th and available for pre-order now, The Reality Reaction Team, a brand new mind-bending sci-fi cyberpunk thriller by author Joe Prosit. In the distant future, humanity spends its time dancing through layers of simulated universes inside of simulated universes, while the real world crumbles around them. The powers that be offer a simple solution. Take the long nap and enter a decade-long hibernation while a select few rebuild Earth into a utopia. Two young lovers, Josh, a hallucinating lowlife, and Ziggy, a university student determined to quantify objective truth, find themselves caught in a spiraling tangle of conspiracy, illusion, and worlds within worlds as they begin to decipher the sinister facade of the long nap and find important allies in a mysterious group called the Reality Reaction Team. Pre-order your ebook or paperback now at joeprosit.com.
Leap Day comes but once every 1,461 days. It is a quirk of our calendar based on the discrepancy between the time it takes the Earth to revolve around the sun versus the number of times it spins on its axis. Most people think it's just one extra ordinary day. But what if instead it is an extraordinary day, one on which those who have it as a birthday can do something magical? Leap. You know how people claim to be one in a million? Well, I am, to a mathematical certainty, one in 1,461. How do I come by this peculiar distinction, you ask? It's my birthday. I was born on February 29th. Yes, that's right. I was born on a leap day during a leap year, that once in every 4 years event that grants us an extra day, appended to the shortest month. The question I get asked the most is, does that mean you're only 1/4 as old as you're supposed to be? No, of course not. My family celebrates my off-leap year birthdays on the 28th. But other 29ers, as we call ourselves, prefer March 1st. There are official gatherings of 29ers every 4 years around the world, including one in my own relatively small city, which I decided to attend for the first time on my 24th birthday. The event itself was rather uninspired. Dinner was an unappetizing buffet, and there was, of course, a large birthday cake. A few enterprising people set up tables selling merchandise. Everything's finer when you're a 29er, t-shirts, mugs, and hats. I spent most of my time at the cash bar, as I stood there watching the MC hand out little plastic trophies to the oldest among us and other arbitrary distinctions. A man approached.
Jack and Coke, he told the bartender, fishing a $10 bill from his wallet.
While his drink was being mixed, he turned to me, extending a hand.
Adam Merriweather, he said.
I shook it. Paul Young, I replied.
2,000,
he guessed. That obvious? He shrugged in response. 92, I asked, judging him to be around 30. He smiled.
Way off. I was born February 29th, 1972.
I laughed. He pulled out a driver's license from his wallet and showed it to me. It was his picture, and next to it, his birth date was 2/29/1972. Nice fake, I said. He shook his head.
Nope.
You're 54 years old?
Nope.
I don't understand. Adam smiled.
I'm a leaper.
Yeah, we all are. That's the whole point of this party.
No, not a 29er. A leaper.
What's the difference? My fellow birthday celebrant returned his license to his wallet and then his pocket. He looked about, making sure we weren't being overheard. He leaned in close, and in a low voice said, "I can skip through time."
"Skip through time?" I asked, louder than I meant to.
"Shh." He scanned the surrounding partiers to make sure no one had taken undue notice.
"It's not something I share with just anyone, but I saw you standing here, completely bored, wondering if this was all there was to it."
"You read my mind," I told him.
"And I'm telling you, there is something more."
"Skipping through time?" I asked.
"Yes, we call it leaping."
"We?"
"There is a small group of us who have mastered this gift,"
he replied. I looked at him skeptically.
"Let's get out of here," he suggested. "I'll show you."
We drove to a farmhouse some miles outside of town.
"This is where you live?" I asked. "No, this is where I leap."
He noticed my growing impatience and explained further.
"This property is completely paid for, and the taxes and utilities are automatically deducted from a bank account managed by a lawyer who takes care of my affairs. The nearest neighbor is a quarter mile away, and I own the surrounding 500 acres.
"What's the point?" I asked.
"The point is, things out here change very slowly. This house has been standing in this spot for 100 years, and will probably be here for 100 more. But I'm most concerned about the next 4.
"Why is that?"
"Because I need it to be here until I get back."
"Right, because you can skip through time," I said doubtfully.
"Come on inside. I'll explain everything."
He checked his watch.
"But we have to hurry. It's almost time."
"Time for what?" He didn't answer. Instead, he unlocked the front door and walked inside. I wasn't getting any serial killer vibes from my new friend, so I followed. Despite its quaint and rustic exterior, the inside had a very modern feel, from the furniture to the state-of-the-art entertainment center in the living room. Meriwether continued walking toward the kitchen. I followed. This room, too, had a decidedly contemporary vibe. Gleaming stainless steel appliances were surrounded by white cabinetry. Adam motioned for me to take a seat at the kitchen table.
"You're familiar with the history of leap year, I assume?"
"Of course. Every 29er had a natural curiosity about the evolution of their unusual birthday. Established by Julius Caesar in 45 BC, then refined by Pope Gregory XIII in 1582, to exclude centuries divisible by 400.
"Yeah, that's what the books say."
"Are they wrong?
Are you familiar with the calendar change enacted by the English Parliament in 1750?
"Of course. That's when they officially adopted the Gregorian calendar and moved the official start of the year to January 1st.
"And removed 11 days from September in 1752, a leap year."
"So?"
"This wasn't arbitrary. It was driven by an unnamed astronomer who had a significant influence on King George II. There are those who say that this advisor wanted the change so that his adjusted birthday would become February 29th.
"The whole thing sounds arbitrary. We could just as easily celebrate October 13th as the new year and have leap day on June 31st.
Meriwether nodded. "But we don't. It's February 29th, and if you were born on that day, and you know the secret of leaping, you can skip ahead 4 years on your birthday, at the precise time of your birth, give or take a few minutes."
"You just pop 4 years into the future?" I asked, incredulous.
"Yes."
"Why would you want to do that?"
"For most leapers, it's the thrill of trying to adapt to a world that has passed you by. The smart ones make use of compound interest, and more recently, Bitcoin, to arrive at a time when their net worth has significantly appreciated.
Aren't people suspicious that you disappear for 4 years?
Most of us have already left behind the people who would care, and we avoid making any attachments that could complicate things. It's as simple as telling anyone who might take notice that you're moving out of state to another country.
And then what?
And then you enjoy the next 4 years, living off the fruits of your investments. It adds up fast when you don't have any living expenses for 48 months. Once you have a safe house like this established, it's just a matter of making sure you have enough left over to fund your next leap.
I remain skeptical. What is this? Some kind of scam? Are you selling timeshares, term life policies? Adam shook his head.
It's nothing like that. I'm merely proposing a mutually beneficial arrangement. You were born at night, right?
10:45 p.m., I answered.
6:07 p.m. for me, he said.
Why is that important?
When I return, I'll be able to guide you on your first leap.
Oh, that's nice of you. He smiled.
I was skeptical at first, too.
Why me? I asked. Why are you telling me all this? Why not keep the secret for yourself?
I used to have a partner,
the man who taught me how to leap.
We alternated so that at least one of us was around to look after the affairs of the other, just in case. But he passed away during my last leap.
And you're looking for a new time-skipping buddy. His smile grew broader.
I knew I picked the right guy.
There's just one problem, I told him.
What's that?
I don't believe you. This whole thing is ridiculous. Leap year is an artificial construct. There's nothing special about this day. It's not an equinox or solstice. It doesn't align with any other celestial events. Why would 29ers be able to leap but no one else? Meriwether shrugged.
You'd have to ask King George's astronomer, or Pope Gregory, or Julius Caesar. Perhaps it's something to do with that fractional difference between the period it takes the Earth to rotate on its axis versus the time to revolve around the Sun. Maybe on this specific day there is some cosmic circumstance that opens a window that we can utilize.
Right, at the exact time of our birth, give or take a few minutes.
I can't pretend to know the whys, but I can show you how to do it yourself, if you're interested.
The idea of skipping through time, extending my life by decades, simply by leaping ahead every 4 years, did indeed sound intriguing.
You don't have to make up your mind tonight. You have 1,461 days to think it over. Just meet me here next leap year and give me your answer. And if you're inclined to take me up on my offer, make sure your affairs are in order. Sell everything you own. Put it into Bitcoin and gold.
Where will I live?
When you're nearing the time, you'll stay here.
He slid a key across the table.
There's a caretaker, but he's been instructed that someone may take up residence.
An alarm went off on the watch Adam wore on his left wrist. He tapped a button to silence it.
Like I said, you have 4 years to think it over. I have things set up so I can get by without a partner, but I feel more secure knowing there's someone out there looking out for me. After you make your first leap, you'll have enough to fund a rather comfortable life in the future.
You're not afraid that I'll steal everything from you? He shook his head.
I'm what you call diversified. I have accounts in digital wallets, safe deposit boxes loaded with gold all over the world. Besides, what's the point? You have everything to gain by joining me.
Meriwether went to the fridge and pulled out an apple. He handed it to me.
Take a bite,
he instructed.
What? Take a bite out of the apple.
A nice big clean one. I did what I was told, leaving a round divot in the fruit, with jagged edges marking the shape of my teeth. Adam inspected it.
Perfect. He slipped the apple into his jacket pocket, then returned to the fridge to remove a cupcake with a single candle in it, which he set on the kitchen table. From another pocket, he pulled out a lighter and lit the candle. He swiped a finger through the frosting of the cupcake and tasted it, leaving a smear on the corner of his mouth. He glanced at his watch. Almost time.
"Happy birthday to me,"
he sang. He looked me straight in the eyes, blew out the candle, and disappeared. In the intervening 4 years, I did what Adam recommended. I consolidated my assets into a diversified portfolio, including crypto and precious metals. On February 29th, I attended the quadrennial celebration and drove out to Adam Merriweather's farmhouse. I let myself in and entered the kitchen. I retrieved a cupcake from the refrigerator and set it on the kitchen table. I checked my watch. It was just after 6 o'clock, so I sat down in the chair from which I had witnessed Merriweather's vanishing act and waited. A few minutes later, he popped back into existence. I leaped out of my seat, nearly falling to the floor as I stumbled backwards, tripping over the chair. Although a part of me was prepared for something to happen, it still took me by surprise.
"Hello, Paul,"
he said.
"I knew you'd come."
He hadn't aged a day, an hour, a minute. There was a small bit of frosting on the corner of his mouth, in the same place it was when I watched him disappear. His tongue reached out to lick it clean. He reached into his jacket pocket and pulled out an apple. There was a bite taken out of it. He showed it to me.
"Remember this?"
I nodded.
"Take another bite, right next to this one."
I didn't challenge him. I simply obeyed. When I looked at the result, the second divot was almost identical to the first. The ragged edges made by the shape of my teeth matched. He removed a phone from his inside pocket.
"Oh, darn. I guess 5G is no longer a thing. Can I borrow your phone?"
I pulled my Galaxy 25 from my back pocket. It unlocked once it viewed my face. I handed it to Adam. He glanced at it for a moment, puzzled. I reached out and made a gesture that caused the flexible screen to expand until it was the size of a small tablet.
"Web browser?"
he asked. The app came to life at the sound of his voice.
"Cool."
He recited a URL and the browser instantly opened the page for him.
"Well, that was a profitable 4 years. I knew those AI stocks would take off."
He handed the phone back to me and it shrunk back down to a pocketable size.
"So, are you ready?"
"What do I need to do?" I asked.
"Well, as you might have guessed, it's not as simple as blowing out a candle. There's a certain state of mind you need to achieve. The candle is just symbolic."
He spent the next 4 hours explaining everything I needed to know to perform a leap. It wasn't that complicated, but it wasn't that obvious either. He and others had developed a series of mantras that created the right mental conditions, and for whatever metaphysical reason it worked on 29ers, he assured me I shouldn't be any different.
"The key, the absolutely essential component, is that you believe you can do it."
I nodded.
"I won't be here when you get back. You were born later than I was. But in 8 years, we'll have a few hours of overlap to catch up. I'll leave you a packet of things I think you'll need to know. And I'd appreciate it if you'd do the same for me next time around. Makes it easier."
"Sure," I promised. He checked his watch, then lit the candle. I stared at the flame, doing my best to remember all the things I had to hold in my mind at once to make the leap.
"Happy birthday to you,"
I heard Adam sing. I took a deep breath and blew out the flame. He disappeared. On the table where he had been sitting was an envelope with my name on it. And in front of the chair opposite me, a cupcake, different from the one with the candle I had just extinguished. I opened the envelope and found what looked like a thin frame. I picked it up and it came to life. filling the empty space with an image of Adam Merriweather, smiling at me. He looked slightly older, wrinkles creased the corners of his eyes, and there were strands of gray in his otherwise dark brown hair.
"Hello, Paul."
"Adam," I said, "where are you?"
"In the future,"
he responded.
"This is just an AI composite of me. It's been a crazy 4 years."
"I guess so."
"I took the liberty of looking up your portfolio before I leaped. You did well, my friend. Some of your crypto choices really paid off."
"Great."
"But there's another reason I needed to talk to you."
"What is it?"
"A rift has developed among the leapers."
"A rift?" I asked.
"As you know, we're not the only 29ers who know the secret of leaping. There are others. And some of them have very specific notions of what we should and shouldn't do with this ability."
"Why would they care?"
"Their leader is a pair of twins who alternate leaping, so one of them is always around. They're very ambitious and want to control all us other leapers. You're in danger."
"Danger? How? Why?"
"They want to kill you."
"Me?"
"Well, not just you. All leapers who could potentially stand in their way."
"But how do they even know about me?"
"You vanished for 4 years. It's pretty obvious to anyone who pays attention who the leapers in the world are."
"Adam, you're scaring me."
"You should be afraid. We might never see each other again."
"Why not?" I asked.
"As you know, we leap from and arrive at the same point. Imagine what would happen if this farmhouse was gone, replaced by a solid block of concrete or a giant tank of acid."
"My God," I said, absorbing the consequences of what AI Adam was telling me.
"What I'm asking, what I'm hoping, is that you can survive long enough to make sure there is a safe place on this spot for me to return to in 4 years.
"How?"
"You can use this AI to help you figure that out. We've got 4 years to devise an answer. Between the two of us, we should be able to come up with something."
The following years were not the life of luxury I was promised. I had a lot to do, starting with raising the farmhouse and selling the land to one of the surrounding farmers. 2 years later, I bought it back under a shell corporation while using some of Adam's funds, with the help of his AI, to establish another safe house at a separate location, one that was actually a decoy. On the site of the old farmhouse, I built what looked like a grain silo. It was really a heavily reinforced bunker, with a secure space, practically a vault, where the farmhouse kitchen used to be. I had saved the table and chairs from the old place, and they were placed precisely where they had been when Adam and I last leaped. As the day approached, I made a big show of arriving at the new safe house. I used a tunnel to slip away and a different vehicle to make it to the silo in time to be there when Adam returned from his leap.
"It's good to see you, friend,"
he said as he looked around the simple utilitarian interior of our new leap vault.
"You've been busy."
"Your AI was very helpful." I handed him an upgraded version of the AI-powered tablet loaded with my own digital doppelganger. "I hope mine is just as helpful."
"Any sign of the others?"
"The ones who want to kill us? No," I told him. "If they did follow me, they'll make their move at the decoy safe house I set up. There's no way they know I came back here. If anything, they think I betrayed you." Adam smiled.
"I'm grateful you didn't."
"Like you said, we need to look out for each other."
"Are you ready?"
he asked. I opened the pink cardboard box resting on the table and pulled out the cupcake inside. We spent the next several hours catching him up on what had happened while he was gone. Before I knew it, the hour of my birth arrived. Adam lit a candle on my cupcake, and I blew it out. From my point of view, it was Adam who disappeared. I didn't see it at first, but something was wrong. There should have been a cupcake with an extinguished candle on the table, along with whatever medium Adam had chosen to relay his update of the last 4 years to me. But aside from the table, chairs, and myself, the room was empty. I glanced over at the large steel door that secured this spot for us between leaps. It was closed. I went to the door and tried the latch. It was locked. I was sealed inside. Adam Merriweather watched the feed from the hidden video camera as Paul collapsed to the floor, coming to the sad realization of his fate. Adam had skipped a leap, not a big sacrifice. He'd already added decades to his time on Earth, and the extra continuity would be a welcome change of pace. Plus, with the assets Paul had accumulated, and for which Adam had full power of attorney over, he could afford it. He took out Paul's AI tablet and smashed it against the concrete wall of the bunker. Then he activated the holographic display embedded in the palm of his left hand and pulled up his friend's accounts. "Access requires a password," a disembodied voice informed him.
"One small step for man," Adam answered.
"Access denied," the voice responded.
"One small step for man," Adam repeated.
"Access denied."
Adam panicked. He tapped the control that projected a holographic keyboard into the air above his left hand and poked at the letters of the password.
"Access denied."
"Why don't you try one giant leap for mankind?"
a familiar voice suggested. Paul's voice.
Adam spun around and saw his leap buddy standing behind him.
"How?"
he asked, flustered.
"Does it matter?"
Paul asked.
"Would it make your betrayal any less sinful?"
Adam thought quickly. "It was the others. They found me, forced me to betray you. I was going to come back."
"Stop it, Adam. No one made you do it. And I'm not the first leaper you've betrayed. We've had our eyes on you for a while."
We who?"
Paul smiled. He stepped over to the vault door, keyed in the access code, and opened it. Another Paul walked out. The two men embraced.
"It's been a long time, brother,"
the first Paul said. Realization washed over Adam. "It's you. You're the twins."
He looked down at the smashed AI tablet.
"Yes, that was quite amusing. You thought you were working with an AI, but you were really communicating with me,"
the outside Paul said. "You're the ones who are killing the leapers," Adam accused.
"Only the ones who abuse their gift," Paul said.
"Like you," added his brother. Adam bowed his head, as if consigning himself to his fate.
Then he sprung past the twins and tried to make a run for it.
He took 5 steps before he collapsed to the ground, unconscious. When Adam woke, he was sitting in one of the chairs at the center of the vault. On the table was a cupcake with a candle in its center, a lone match next to it. Was this a test?
Was there hope?
He had missed the time of his birth, but what if the window wasn't as small as he thought it was? What if he could still leap forward?
Would it make a difference? What did he have to lose?
Adam struck the match against the stone floor and carefully carried the flame to the wick of the candle. He lit it, then waved the match flame into a wisp of smoke. He cleared his mind of everything but the thoughts that would enable him to leap into the future.
"Happy birthday to me,"
he sang softly, then blew out the candle. Thank you for listening to Leap, written especially for the Bedtime Stories for Insomniacs fiction podcast by Rich Hosek. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcast platform. But most importantly, please share these stories with anyone you know who enjoys audiobooks. If you sign up for the Insomniac Snooze Letter at bedtimestories.studio, you will receive a free audio or ebook edition of The Charlatan's Conundrum and other bedtime stories for insomniacs. You can find out more about the host of Bedtime Stories for Insomniacs at richhosek.com. Thanks again, and all the very best.
The Luke in Time Mysteries begins with two private detectives. Luke, who's got a little bit of a drinking problem, and her partner Lyle, who's got a little bit of an eating problem. Together, they've got a pretty big money problem. So when Marva walks into their office, offering gobs of cash, if they can find someone who's trying to kill her, they take the job without asking any questions, which becomes their biggest problem, because soon enough, they walk into a trap and wind up dead. But that's not where this story ends. In fact, it's just the setup, because they go back to the moment where they first met Marva, and until Luke and Lyle can solve Marva's mystery, they keep dying over and over again. If this book sounds like something you'd enjoy, check the links in the show notes to learn more.
You can find out more about the 9 lives of Marva DeLonghi and the Luke and Time Mysteries at jodyjsperling.com.